Okay, we're going to look what John says this morning. First of all, God offers eternal life, and he focuses on his love. Notice, for God so loved the world. So loved. The Greek there, so, speaks of other than ordinary. It's an intense type of love. God so loved the world, the kurios, the creation. And this, I love this little picture here because it really demonstrates that God does love the world. Primarily, this love is directed at man. That is, sinful men who could not otherwise get themselves out of the ditch, if you will. It includes those, but also would have to include all of creation. God loves his creation. In Genesis, it said, God looked over all that he made and he saw that it was good. So God's creation is good. He loves his creation, but primarily, God loves people. God is in the people business. The word love here means high appreciation, high value. I want you to understand something this morning, that you have value to God. You have value before him because you were created in the very image of God. You were every ounce of your body screams the image of God. And therefore, because you are his creation, it would stand to reason that God would love us. And it's an intense love. It is a love that desires every person to come to the light and trust in Jesus Christ. We'll get into some bad theology in just a few minutes, but it's sufficient to say that God should love us because he created us. We were created in his image. So much so. Notice what John says. So much so. For God loved us so much that he was willing to give his only son. Give means, in this text, at least in the Greek, it refers to giving something that is extremely valuable. I want you to understand something here today. I know many of us, all of you are done with your Christmas gift shopping, right? Every one of you? No? Oh, boy, you guys are in trouble. You got less than 48 hours. You're going to get gifts. And I see these Lexus commercials all the time, and I joke with my wife when they say it's a December to remember. Give a Lexus. I said, if I gave you a Lexus, it would be a Christmas to remember. My wallet would fill it. God allowed his only son, the greatest gift of all, to leave heaven, to come to this earth, to be born in a stable, not a palace, to be born in a stable with sheep and oxen, and then from that humble state to grow up, and we talked about this, to grow up like any other person, God man, the God man, grew up and walked through, as we go back through Galatians, lived every single law that God ever spoke or thought or anything. He lived all of it perfectly. Obviously, we went back to the law in the book of Galatians. Said the Jews were under the law, but Christ redeemed them from under the law so that they can have a relationship with God. And by the way, as a way of reminder, you cannot get to God based on denomination, based on religion, based on how good you are. That is all tied up infinitely in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Any man that wants to go to the Father must go strictly through him. But he makes a promise, and here's the promise, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Believe means to trust with complete understanding of who Jesus is. It is you are trusting everything in your life with your whole being, with your whole heart, that Jesus is the Messiah and who he says he was. That means you have to believe in his pre-existent state. You have to believe in his physical state in which he walked this life perfectly as a man, yet as God, and then took that life, put it on the cross, paid for our sins, not in part, but I love the hymn that says, in full, paid in full, and that he died physically, and that he rose from the dead, and he reigns victoriously in heaven. That's what you have to believe to get in. The Baptist will not get you into heaven. Being Catholic will not get you into heaven. Being Methodist will not get you into heaven. Being Presbyterian will not get you into heaven. Jesus Christ alone will get you into heaven based on his finished work. And his promise is that we would have eternal life. Notice there's two roads. And this is serious, because if you believe as I do, that every word in this Bible is spoken by the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, and that God breathed in this book through the Holy Spirit his words. If you believe that, then you're left with two choices. And by the way, that's what my sermon's about today. You're left with two choices. You're either left with you deny it and you reject it. In that case, notice what John says. Therefore, whoever believes in him should not perish. Perish means destruction, separated from God. By the way, there is an afterlife, folks. There is an afterlife. You can wish it away, say God doesn't exist, but that doesn't make it so, because he does exist. And he is who he says he is. And that we are given then, for those who believe the promise, for those who believe the promise, he gives them eternal life, but they will have eternal life. That means life forever. Have you ever pondered that thought? I mean, really, because we can't do that this side of heaven. It's hard for our minds, our finite minds, to grasp an infinite concept. To live eternal. That means that when you leave this life, you never die again. I think this is a good picture, a good reminder for us. I like it because it shows that there's a separation. When you die, you do go somewhere. I am constantly amazed at the people. Seriously, I am constantly amazed at the people who speak so boldly. There is no God. There is no afterlife. And my first question to them is, have you ever been there? They speak so confidently about something they do not know. But as believers, don't we know it's true? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take some comfort from that this morning, that we will have eternal life because we have trusted in Christ. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to live forever. This is not the ending. This is just the beginning. And we go into the presence of God. We rejoice with him for all eternity. Not only does God offer eternal life, but he gives salvation in Christ. Let's look at some bad theology this morning. You say bad? Yeah, bad theology. Notice what he says. For God did not, notice the emphasis on negative in the Greek, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The word condemn there means to judge a person to be guilty and therefore linked with punishment. That was not God's purpose. Matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says, what, class? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen, God didn't send the Son to condemn the world. The world was already condemned because of Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. When Satan came to Eve and he said, surely God will not smite you for eating this apple of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Surely God won't do that. And Eve was deceived, and she took the apple and she gave it to Adam. They ate. They all of a sudden realized they were naked. And at that point, man had to clothe himself and was hiding from God, and God knew the deal. And he said, okay, because you have done this, you're outside the Garden of Eden. From that point, man was condemned. So the question is, I just want to show it to you because I think it's funny in one way and not in the other. Doesn't it look like the Christian mafia? Notice the glasses. Look at this sign. God hates you? Yes, this is a radical right-wing group. I love this little kid. Watch, this is about a 12-year-old boy. Notice, I want you to... He sees them, and I love this. This is great. See these glasses here? Watch this. This kid's awesome. God hates no one. The kid's right. The kid is absolutely right. God doesn't hate people. He loves people because we are in his image. We are his creation. He created us. He knows us. Even before you were born, you were known by God. While you were still in your mother's womb, he knew you. God hates, I'll tell you what God hates. I looked it up. There's four things in Scripture that God hates. Depending on the translations that you read. Can you know what they are? God hates divorce. God hates pagan worship. God hates what? Pride. Those types of things. Nowhere in there does it say God hates people. Nowhere. And depending on which translation you read, you come up with four, maybe five. But God hates no one. God does hate sin. God hates sin so much that he said, son, I need you to go to earth and I need you to redeem. And by the way, that word send, when God sent his only son, means with a mission and a purpose. And the mission and purpose was not to reveal that God hates people. We were already condemned. God had to come up with a way, which he did before eternity started, before the world came into existence. God knew this, or he ceases to be God. God had a plan. He knew that man was going to fall, and he knew that he wanted fellowship with him. You do know that you're designed to have fellowship with God. You're designed to have fellowship with God. This boy's absolutely right. God hates no one. That's bad theology. And the problem is, isn't it true, though, some Christians paint God as somebody that hates? You ever do that? By the way we talk to people, by the way we say you're going to hell may absolutely be true, but we need to focus on getting the message out in the right way. That is that God loves you. I don't know about you, but the message, the good news of the message is that you do not have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. It's been paid for by Christ. I love that boy. That's awesome. He saw those guys in the background and he goes, Mom, that's not right. Yeah, God hates no one. Let's look at some good theology. The good theology, verse 17. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Save means somebody to cause, or somebody to cause somebody to experience divine salvation. Do you remember the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ? Rosemary and I share the same day, so except years apart. But we have the same day, October 12th. Do you remember that day that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know it. You know that day I prayed with the Army chaplain to receive Jesus Christ. I knew in that moment when I said the sinner's prayer, not because I said the sinner's prayer, but because I believed it in my heart. There's a huge difference. You've heard me say this before. You can have people come down to this altar, say the sinner's prayer, and leave in the unsaved condition in which they came. It is about a heart transformation. And by the way, no book in the world can transform your heart. Only Jesus Christ can do the work that only he can do in the heart to change the life. God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, to say you're guilty. We were already guilty before God, whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe God exists or not, you're guilty before him. Based on what happened back in Genesis chapter 3 and how we have progressed through this life. Listen, you will never be good enough to stand before a holy, righteous God on your own. Please don't try it. Don't do what some people have talked to me about. Pastor, if I just do enough good, it will outweigh my bad and I'll get into heaven. Even your bad stuff or even your good stuff is defiled because it's not perfect. The good theology is like this billboard. Yes, Jesus Christ came to save. We are billboards. You realize that. We are billboards for God. Either you go into your workplace, you go into where people are, and you tell them about the gospel, and you say, God hates you, he judges you, you're going to hell, I'm sorry. The gospel says, okay, that's part of it, but the bigger picture is that God loves you and wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you based on the finished work of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on our behalf. That good news, the gospel meaning good news, meaning that you can be redeemed by God through Jesus Christ, and that should be the message that we could get out there. You talk to anybody, you tell them first off that you can go to heaven, and then start sharing with them the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is not hard, folks. The plan of salvation is simple. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's simple. Yet we gunk it up with all of this terminology and ideology and theology. And the gospel in a nutshell is simple. You either believe Jesus is who he says he is or he isn't. And in that case, that's the line. I hope that you've trusted in Christ. I trust that you've trusted in Christ. Let me explain something. This is hell, obviously. And the cross lives as the bridge. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There's two roads. God gives you so simple of a choice. It's a simplistic choice. You either trust in Christ or you don't. And I think Christmas is one of the best times in the world to trust in Christ. I'm going to tell you this just from my heart. I absolutely know beyond 100% that Jesus is who he says he is because of the transformation that's taken place in my life. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, he bridges the gap of sin, which leads to destruction, and bridges you all the way to the kingdom of God. Please do not trust in the Southern Baptist Convention. It won't work. Please do not trust in your churchianity to get you into heaven or what your parents did or who, if your dad or mom was, you know, somebody big in the church and they were doing things. Please don't do that because you have to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Lastly, you make the choice. You make the choice. The choice is here. It's in this text. And I went back through it and I went, hey, that's choice. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. We covered that because if you trust in Christ, the sin from Genesis 3 all the way through is wiped out, done, paid for. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Genesis chapter 3. Go back and look at the fall of man. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In other words, Christ is the remedy for the condemning part. Christ is the remedy for how God remedies the situation of sin in the human heart. Now notice what he says in verse 19. That's verse 18. Verse 19. And this is the judgment. And this is the judgment. Now John becomes a lawyer here. And he makes three huge statements in this text. Watch it. John is a lawyer. The light has come into the world. Who is the light? The light is Jesus Christ. Behold, John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus embarks on his earthly ministry, baptized by John in the River Jordan. That's the light. Jesus is the light. He came into the world. Fact. By the way, if you look at a lot of historians, fact. Jesus was a real person. Some argue about the length of what that meant or the breadth of what that meant, but Jesus was in this world. And here's the key. Notice this. Look at the choice. I want you to see the choice. And people love darkness rather than light. You catch that? It is an absolute choice. People, in other words, they like the darkness and they didn't like the light. Why? Because the light shows our imperfection and our sin. They made a choice. They said, we see Jesus, we understand it. Even back in the day when Jesus was here, we understand he's the Son of God, or at least he claims to be the Son of God, but we don't believe it because we like the darkness. It's a good picture. And by the way, when we talk about the world of darkness, we talk about this. These are the sins. Why people love the darkness. You've got evilness, you got pride, you got idolatry, you got lust, greed, murder, fornication, haters of God, lying, hate, hatred, witchcraft. All of those things are fun. I know you've seen it, well, without God and without hope is what this is, but I know you've seen it this week. Phil Robinson was suspended by A&E. He's one of the patriarchs of Duck Dynasty. He talked about homosexuality being a sin, and he read from the scriptures. Didn't have anything to do with A&E, but he was interviewed outside of A&E, and A&E said, we have to distance ourselves from that. By the way, I looked this up. Talking about homosexuals and lesbians and gays. It depends on which poll you show. I averaged them right at 15% of the population claims to be gay and lesbian. 15%. Going to hell, absolutely true. But that's not what sends them to hell. What sends them to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And you can't ask somebody to change their lifestyle until they first had an inward change. Although some have successfully done that. I'm going to tell you, I think this is going to bite A&E by doing this. But I'm going to tell you something. I want you to understand this. As your pastor, I want you to understand this. This is going to be commonplace. When you start sharing your faith, you're going to get pushback. And I don't care what Hollywood left media and the left people think. They can say, you know what's really funny about this is they say that your language is offensive. Really, your language is offensive to me. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter what they believe about God. It doesn't believe whether they think God exists or not. You can go, God doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, and that doesn't make it so. God is real. And, of course, that passage he read that got him suspended mentioned a lot of other things, and that's basically a heart that is in darkness rather than in light. Notice, for everyone who does wicked things, hates the light, verse 20, and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed or revealed. Because you know what happens? Do you guys ever get to the point in the evangelism moment when you say these faithful words? You are a sinner. Uh-oh. It's kickback. Why? People don't like to be told they're sinners. So we have to kind of come at this from a route and try to help them see that all people are sinful and that they need the Savior who came to destroy the sin so that they can have a relationship with God. John moves on now under this choice. Verse 21, he says, but whoever does what is true, that is, lives by the truth, lives by the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, comes to the light. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. Their sin has been exposed, but guess what? Christ has paid for the sin, so now they're able to live in the light. So that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In other words, you stand before God in a righteous position. I love this picture. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. In other words, I couldn't tell you exactly how this worked out over time in my own life, but I can tell you this. The day that I prayed to receive Jesus Christ, For the first time, I really understood sin. As a baby Christian, just believing what that chaplain was telling me and pointing me up to the front of the church in that little chapel, telling me about the gospel. At that moment, when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, I knew. I'm a sinner. It was like a whole new world. We talked about sin when I was growing up. My grandparents would talk about sin. I didn't really get it, but okay. Now I got it that day that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I got the fact that I was a sinner. And then I started looking around. I tell you, I went up to some of my friends, the guys I used to go out to the bars with. I went to my friends and I said, guess what just happened to me? I got saved! And they looked at me like I was from planet Pluto. What does this mean, Mike? I don't know, but I know I'm saved. I want you to see the transition here from darkness to light. You guys see the movie Gladiator? I went back and looked at some clips. That movie's full of spiritual stuff. I'm going to play one clip for you, and then we're going to close it. But this is Russell Crowe. That's right, right? Russell Crowe. He's one of my favorite actors, Liam Neeson being the other one, and few other actors, but I think this clip is awesome. And there's a spiritual truth in this clip. Let's watch it.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
At my signal, unleash hell.
So, hold the line. Stay with me. If you find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face, do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium, and you're already dead. Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
Yep. That last phrase, what we do in life echoes in eternity, there's an element of truth there. There's also, you see, spiritual darkness in that. But the big question is, what you do here with Jesus Christ will echo in eternity. If you choose to staunchly and defiantly reject Jesus Christ, it will echo in eternity. But if you choose to receive Jesus Christ and believe in Him as the only Son of God, that too will echo in eternity. You either trust in Jesus, you make the choice. If you love darkness and you say, well, wait a minute, my lifestyle's not dark. You just need a little darkness. Let's put it this way. Anything out Jesus Christ is dark. Anything in Jesus Christ is light. And you have to make the choice. What better time to trust in Jesus Christ than today? Today is the day of salvation. Put your trust and your life in Him, and you will live eternally. Once you pass from this life, by the way, unless Jesus comes back, you will die. Merry Christmas, right? But that's the truth. There's a day when your body will shut down. You will breathe your last breath. And in that moment, you have made a decision that will echo for all eternity. You may be hearing your own voice in hell screaming out in pain, or you may hear your own voice in heaven praising the one who redeemed you. Eternal life is in your grasp. Will you take it? I bet you if you were to receive Jesus Christ this morning, everybody in this church would rejoice. Isn't that right? Please don't let Satan say, don't go forward because of what people might think. I can tell you what people in this church will think. If you come forward and receive Jesus Christ, they're going to rejoice with you. Please don't let that stop you. Trust in Christ.